to Epiphany Fellowship's podcast, where our goal is to see people everywhere show off the glory of Christ in every area of life. We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message and will allow the Word of God to dwell in you richly.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk about today, anchored in the discipline of the Lord. Dang, I ain't getting no amens off that. Listen, we don't want to hear that. Y'all going to hear it. Let's pray. Yes. God, help us to see the ways that you help us. Looking like Jesus is your central goal for our lives. And so, Most High, make us better humans because of Jesus. Make us better lovers of one another because of Jesus. Make us better lovers of you because of Jesus. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer, in whom we trust. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, everybody agree with that. That's it. You may be seated. Anchored in the discipline of the Lord. I have to admit that, I'm always learning something. But this week, as I was working on this sermon, I was absolutely thrown off by how I've misread the word discipline in the Bible. Discipline in the Bible is so much more big than I ever thought it was. The challenge with many of us, though, is that we confuse the discipline of the Lord as punitive only, to the point to where many of us end up moving towards walking away from the faith because we haven't paid close attention to what God wants to do in our life. And we are going to see that everything in your life is God disciplining you. But before you can really receive that with a real amen, we're going to have to take a journey into the corpus of the scriptures to understand the way that God discipline works. Why does he discipline? How do we define it? What does it look like in our life, and how do we respond to it? So I got one point and one point only today. If you're going to be anchored in the discipline of the Lord, yes, the discipline of the Lord is an anchor. Number one and only point, God's discipline is more than a spanking. It is a lifestyle of being guided by the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. God's discipline is more than a spanking. It's a lifestyle. Somebody say lifestyle. Lifestyle of being guided by the Spirit. Look at verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. Now remember, this, again, y'all see this in the Bible. What's the theme of our book? Yes, Jesus is better. Don't give up. So here it says, consider him, talking about Jesus, who endured hostility from sinners. So what's interesting is that they were dealing with, the Hebrew people here in the scriptures were dealing with hostility towards sinners to the point to where they wanted to walk away from the faith because they were confused about how the faith worked. Okay, let me see if I can make it plain. When I wasn't a believer, I had a convictionless life, right? No conviction, and I had a pretty decent life of ease. But I don't know what happened. As soon as I crossed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, all hectifications broke loose. And you think, that's why you can't tell people, you can't describe a Christian life without struggle. And so what can happen is, in our day and age, we have such a purpose-driven, happiness-driven, branded Christian faith that it's easy for somebody to get confused when something difficult happens. And so what that can do is a confused Christian in suffering can have a spiritual concussion and dip out the faith. And so here today he says, consider him who endured hostility for sinners. Why did he do it? So that you wouldn't grow weary. I love that. I love that. Because the idea here is that in scripture, there's always a disposition where you can get tired of walking with the Lord. Anybody under the sound of my voice, you ain't got to raise your hand. Somebody raised it quick too. Before I even answered the question, they had their hand up like, you ever got tired of walking with God? You're like, God, it seems like they having a whole bunch of fun over there. But that's why the Bible says, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work where? In the Lord is not in vain. This is my favorite one. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. You got to be careful of giving up because the blessing is on the way. And so it doesn't come as quickly as you want it to, right? So look at verse 4. He says, in struggling against sin, I like this, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. He says, so your little stuff you're going through, you ain't shed no blood yet. I mean, and he's talking to particularly these believers. The idea of struggle here means to exert strenuous effort against opposition. In other words, none of us, this is how I knew the early Christians were some Christians, some believers. When they put you in a coliseum with 3 to 10 lions, oh, we don't know the smoke yet. You understand what I'm saying? That's smoke. Like, I don't even know if that's good enough of a term to explain what that is. But they would say, they would basically say, denounce Jesus Christ as Lord and accept Caesar as Lord, and these lions not gonna eat you. Now you gotta imagine, them joints is licking their chops. They starved them and got you with salt on you. He said, he said, you haven't gotten to that point. He said, you're looking at leaving the faith and you ain't really been through nothing. He said, why are you confused about the faith as if your little struggle is something else? Now, all of this is going to play into the discipline of the Lord. Look at verse 5. It almost as if this verse, right? It's almost like this verse comes out of nowhere, but it's in great connection of what it means to keep your eyes on Jesus. Okay? Look at what it says. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. One of the things that happens in your life is you and I constantly need reminders. Reminders because sometimes you can get in a season of your life where you're looking at the season and not the reason. See, if you only look at the season but don't look at God for the reason, you won't get perspective. And so he says, you're going through this particular thing as the people of God, which is God's discipline, but also the discipline is looking like suffering and haterade from the world. And so what ends up happening is they're forgetting, and they're saying, we want to walk away from the faith. But he's like, you were trained to know what this was. We have to make better disciples in the church where people are trained to know what life is. What is this I'm going through? Not God, why am I going through it? But what are you trying to teach me? And he says, listen to what he says. Do not, and I got to spend some time here. Can I teach this? He says, my son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly. The question, though, is what's discipline? This is superlatively important. Now, in the Hebrew corpus, we always, listen, this is a hermeneutics lesson. The law of first mentions means the first time something is mentioned in Scripture, it tells you how it should be read throughout the rest of Scripture. Okay? So when he says, do not just take the discipline of the Lord lightly, that's back in Proverbs. Now, the word discipline was first used in Proverbs. The Hebrew word for discipline literally can be translated training. Listen to me. In other words, we look at it in a punitive way, but I want us to expand this. Because now we're going to see discipline as so much bigger than when you, it's not just what God does when you get in trouble. It's what he does to keep you out of trouble. Oh, y'all, ain't nobody going to talk back to me. So what does the Hebrew word for this mean? It means training to improve strength or self-control. So in the proverbial corpus, there were two types of people. There were fools, and there's like three categories of the fool. And then there's the wise, those who are chokmatic, if you will. They know how to live out what they know. That's what it means. And so that person applies discipline in what God says. Hear me. Now, what's discipline in the New Testament? It's a cousin term, but it plays on it and upgrades it and helps us to expand it. Check it out. It's the imposition of painful consequences and or other disadvantages upon someone for their disobedience as a process of improving, listen, someone's character and someone's actions. Are y'all still tracking with me? Please let me teach, Pastor. So his discipline, paideia, the word here, it means, listen to the expansiveness of the word discipline. Discipline is training, instruction, firm guidance, reproof, correction, and punishment. Let me say that again. It's instruction, meaning it's the natural life's process of God teaching you in your daily life. So when we look at discipline as only the corrective part, it's also the instructional, because some of what God does is he wants to get you in front of stuff versus wait till you get in stuff, then teaching you. So instruction biblically is preparation for what's not there yet. So that means right now, under the sound of my voice, you're getting disciplined by the Lord. In other words, it's the act of getting you in a place where you walk in truth consistently. Okay, so thank you, Pastor. Now define it for me. Okay, here we go. Define discipline. I hope y'all got that up here for this service. Discipline is the sanctifying work of the Spirit by which he instructs, there it is, corrects, guides, trains, and rebukes us in instances, moments, listen to this, instances, moments, seasons, and throughout the whole of our lives so that we may look more like Jesus. So that's the goal of God's instruction. Y'all still tracking with me, right? So this is super important. Now, what are the means of his instruction and discipline? Well, what does he utilize? Stay with me. What are his means? It's momentary discipline, there's seasons of discipline, and there's the whole of life as discipline. There it is. Momentary discipline, you see that in Numbers. Seasons of discipline, you see that in Jeremiah, in Lamentations. But then the whole of Scripture, you see, whole of life as discipline. So when we look at momentary discipline is when God does stuff like, let me get ahead of myself a little bit. Momentary discipline means, no, don't do that. Or I said no, right? I know y'all have said that to somebody before at some point in time. So momentary discipline is what God does in a singular moment. But then there's what's called a season of discipline, like when the children of Israel were in Babylon and Persia, and when the northern tribes were where they were in the second Second Kings 15, right? 15:17 with the Assyrians. And so there are seasons of times where God will put you in a in-depth training regimen. We're going to talk about what the gym of discipline looks like in a section and what are God's means and mechanisms and training mechanisms that he uses to grow us. So the whole of life is discipline. Why? Because in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for instruction. Okay? So what are God's mechanisms? What are his mechanisms for instructing us? Teaching, preaching, community, and short and long-term circumstances and sometimes consequences. Okay, let me see if I can make it plain, because y'all looking funny. Listen, if the law didn't have something to ignite us to discipline, we would do what we want to do. So, okay, y'all looking at me funny. So when you got Waze on and you know you're speeding, camera alert in 2 miles, what do? Slow down. But right after you pass, what do? So in order to instruct us, we have something called a ticket. Some of us, the way God instructs us, is we may lose our job. Nobody don't want that. Getting written up or being denied an opportunity. Now, there are levels of parenting that I see in natural parenting that reflects the way God parents us. So you say, no, don't do that. I said no is the next level. The next level is being called by your full government name. Eric, period. Matthew, period. Mason, when I heard that, yeah, baby, I knew that I needed to turn myself in real quickly. Some people being placed on punishment, getting whooped, not spanking. Teachable moments, though, are another way. Sometimes it's nothing going on. It's just somebody did something stupid, and I tell my kids, look, don't do that, and this is the instruction for that particular thing. So in life, God does the same thing. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that they were written for our example. In other words, God wrote what Israel went through as a way to not be a blueprint for how to be wise, but how not to, it's a blueprint for how not to be stupid. Listen, and so, but again, we'd be acting like we'd do something different if we was this. If Israel out of them, you don't know what you'd have did. Well, do what you're doing some stuff in your life now, so how you talking about what you wouldn't have did when you're doing some of the same stuff that Israel did that looked like what they did even though you wasn't back then, but you now, okay? So quit it. But also general preparation for adulthood. So when you talk about something like instructions, did you know that God giving us the Ten Commandments was a disciplinary instruction? All of those were instructions that he gave us to have clarity in relation to what he wants us to do in life. Now, when we look at this, discipline is the process and act of learning how things are done. In essence, discipline is the process of being trained and educated into Christ-centered Christian culture, okay? So as we look through this and we understand that it's discipline, discipline is just like this. It's just like getting table manners, right? I don't know if, you know, when you're in the process of learning table manners from your parents, you know, put your elbows on the table. Your mom say, take your elbows off the table. That's instruction. Chewing with your mouth open. Talking with your mouth open. Knowing that this one, this fork is for the salad, this fork is for the meal, and this one's for dessert. In other words, those instructions are being given in order to give you culture and instruction in your life that gives you direction when you're at the table. Now, what's interesting here in this text is discipline is so multidimensional. And so we have to know that the Holy Spirit is the principal of the school of our discipleship and instructional process. Look at what it says in John chapter 14, verse 15. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you. He is the Spirit of truth. What does that mean? It points to he will be the one to lead us in the truth. So everything that we're going through in our lives is the body of instruction to give us direction to where God wants us to go. So listen, God will do things purposely in your life to discipline you to be disciplined. Okay, let me see if I can make a plan. If I haven't been praying and God wants me in prayer, he does stuff to make me pray. Okay, one thing God does to make me pray is helping me not to sense his presence when I'm preaching. When I know I had a prayerless week. That's too real for y'all, okay. That's too real for y'all. Sending suffering to get me back in prayer. Some of what y'all going through is just God begging you to pray. Listen, it's called tear gas. All right, you don't want to come out? Listen, listen. God loves you enough. Do you understand how much he wants to talk to you? It may not feel like it, but he enjoys intimacy with his children. And he has enough to go around where God doesn't get worn out of us going to him. But not only this, one of the big ones in my life that God will use is me experiencing, listen, powerlessness in my ability to change things in the life of my wife and kids. God sometimes helped me to feel powerless so I can connect to that which makes me feel powerful. And so what in your life does God have to do, listen, to get you to be and do what he's calling you to do? Now, listen, he says, or lose heart when you're reproved by the Lord. Now look at verse 6. He says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes the son he receives. Now, when he talks about discipline those who he loves, that means if he loves you, he gets at you. Now, what I like the fact is that he says every child, not just some children. That means God treats us equally. He doesn't have favorites, even though he has intimates. Right? Now, let me see if I can make it plain with God not playing favorites. See, I don't ever have a problem disciplining my sons, ever. Because I know what the world is like, particularly for a black man. So I'm going to discipline my boys. You feel me? And so I don't care if they cry. I don't care their response. I don't care how they feel. But my little girl, man, I don't know what it is that women, daughters do to their dads that just annihilate your ability to be fully hard on them. But one of the things that I've just learned is that I can't prepare them for life and not prepare her for life. And so I can't let my feelings get in the way of what I have to do to get her prepared. Because of how she makes me feel, I got to do it even more. And so God doesn't have any type of favors. But look at verse 7. He said, endure suffering as discipline. This is dope. He said, God is dealing with you as sons. I like this. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? So as he's talking about dealing with them as sons, his point is that he deals with them because they're in his house. Okay, let me see if I can make it plain. When I was growing up, you know, I used to tell my dad was super strict. I grew up during the crack era, so it's helicopters going all over your head, shining lights in your backyard and all of that, cats running in the alley, all of that. It's crack time. So I wanted to go to the corner store. I wanted to go to the bodega. I wanted to go to the poppy store. You know, my pops was like, nah, you ain't going. You go sit on the porch. All my friends got to do all kinds of stuff, right? And so I'm watching them come back with chips skipping back from the store with all kinds of delectable snacks. And I'm sitting here. They got penny candy, and they done went to the arcade. Y'all don't even know what an arcade is. They experience all this stuff. You know, they're coming back with the pickled eggs, and they're coming back with all kinds of stuff, right? Sunflower seeds and putting hot sauce in the bag. And I'm sitting on the porch like, what? Right? And I go in the house. I'm mad. And I say, Dad. They got to go to, Alvin got to go to the store. Kevin got to go to the store. You know, Kwawe and Yusef, Yusef younger than me. He gone to, I ain't say it like that, though. I just want to let you know. This is theatrics for preaching. Like, I wasn't talking to Jimmy Lee Mason like that, all right? But bear with my sanctified imagination. And he said, you hear my dad. Hey, boy, let me tell you something. Kwawe, Alvin, Yusef, and Kevin don't live, as DC Cam, you know. They don't live at 717 Ingraham Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20011. They don't live here, but you do. My responsibility is for you, not for them. When God disciplines you, he's leaning into his responsibility as your father. It's nothing like a father leaning into his paternal responsibility for his children. And that's what God does, right? But look at verse 8. Y'all still tracking with me, right? It said, but if you are without discipline, this is scary. If you are without discipline, which all receive, like he keeps saying that, then you are illegitimate. Wow. In other words, God doesn't play favorites, right? But what does that intimacy look like? What does intimacy look like if God's bringing you near through discipline? Number one of the things that he does through discipline and bringing you near, number one, is first off, nearness of presence. Not only that, the ability to suffer well. Number three, greater sense of purpose. I'm going to go through these. The power in serving and talents. The ability to have divine clarity from God that helps others. God fights for you. And the ability to look stupid but know that God got you. That's what discipline does. Number one, we see nearness of God, we see in John. The ability to suffer well, we see in Peter. The greater sense of purpose, we see in Paul. The power in serving and talents is David. The ability to have divine clarity to help others, Titus. God fights for you, Jehoshaphat. The ability to look stupid but know God's got you, Mary. It's not, see, discipline will make you, let's put you in a place where you're able to allow yourself to look stupid even though people are looking at you crazy, but God is looking at you, not with disgust, but of love and of enjoyment. And of, I mean, he gets so much glory out of you not allowing what other people think about what you're doing to bother you. In other words, you need to put on your t-shirt today that says, I'm unbothered today, because I'm going to do God's will, whether or not you want me to, whether like you feel like it's the end thing to do. Listen, I don't care what's popular on earth. I want to do what's popular in heaven. And what's, I don't want the trendy lifestyle. I want the eternally fashionable and stylish lifestyle that lasts longer than a trend. He says, they are legitimate. Now, if you don't get disciplined by the Lord, it's two things either happening. You either hand it over to Satan, or you're not his. So next time he tightens you up, thank him. Ain't nobody gonna talk back on that. Next time God grab you by your shirt and say, shut your mouth and do what I, you better lift your hands and give him glory, because all he's telling you, it's mine you are. You're my child. You don't realize the fact that God don't play about you. He don't play about you. He down for you. That's why he nagging you all the time. If he don't say nothing, he don't love you, and you're illegitimate. But if he's talking to you, if he's pushing you, if he's convicting you, if he's hollering at you, if he's whispering at you, you are his. You're his. It's nothing like knowing you belong to God. So many people have dissed you. So many people have walked out on you. So many people acted, we call it two-faced in D.C. You act one way in my face, but when you're around other people, you're talking behind my back. But I love the fact that I serve a loyal God. Listen, the stuff that God tell me by himself, he'll tell me in front of other people. That's how you know he ride for you, because he love you. God's relationship with you isn't a front. That's what makes this so dope. That's what makes it so dope. Like, look at verse 9. Look what he says. He says, furthermore, we had human fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Should we submit even more to the Father of spirits? And listen to this. And live. Oh, man, underline that. Why is that word important? Because when you receive God's instruction, you experience maximum life. He said, I come that you may have life, and life more abundantly. I like the way one translation translates it, life to the full. In other words, all that life has to offer. Do you know all that life has to offer isn't merely maximizing your financial portfolio? See, soon as we hear abundant life, oh, I'm finna be rich. Listen, let me tell you what's wealth. Peace. Being in my right mind, that's pretty wealthy. Not being sick, that's pretty wealthy. Having relationships with godly people who love me and tell me the truth about myself, that means being wealthy. Being at a church that the Holy Spirit shows up at and the word of God is preached and people try to walk with God, I'm trying to tell you, that's worth more than money. Some of y'all are so entitled, you don't even realize how wealthy you are. You're so wealthy. God, you're so wealthy. Some of y'all have some great friendships, and you complain about the dumbest stuff. God has made your life so, yes, you're going through a struggle, but you're in your right mind. There's food on the table. You woke up this morning. You may not have all the clothes you want, but if you got a change of clothes and a change of other things, God is with you. The water's on. The electricity is on. The car got gas in it. If you don't have gas, you got gas money. You can get on the sub. You can get on the L. You can get on the bus. You can get on the trolley. God is taking care. He's taking care of you. I'm just telling you. Don't let your entitlement make you blind. Here we go, verse 10. I'm almost done. He says, for they discipline us a short time based on what seemed good to them. But what does it benefit? Listen, here it is. So that we can share in his holiness. What does holiness mean? The Hebrew word is interesting. It's a beautiful Hebrew word which means to cut and be set aside. That's why he does it. He said, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time. Lord, no, it don't. But painful. I like this. Later on, however, it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been, there it is, trained by it. Okay? So that's our idea of training. So, what does that mean? What does that mean? How do we prepare ourselves for training? He tells us in verse 12. Therefore, strengthen your hands and weaken knees. Amen. In other words, let me see if I can make this plain. So on my 25th anniversary, me and my wife did a staycation because she was sick and we couldn't go anywhere. And so we ended up doing a staycation downtown at the Four Seasons. So we went to dinner, and I sat down, and I got up, but I stopped, and someone went, and I ain't even 50 yet, and this happened. Well, I'm 50 now, but at the time, and I said, oh, my Lord, I cannot move my back. So the guys come over, they're trying to help me. I'm literally, don't you touch me, because I don't know if you ever knocked your back out. It is, now ladies, I know y'all got labor, so I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about for a man. That, because y'all about to say, you ain't had no baby yet. Every time a man talk about pain, you ain't had no baby yet. You ain't had no baby. We love y'all. Thank you. But my back was gone. And I just walked back to the room like this, and I just laid sideways. Amen. But they told me, I have to stretch my back. Because if I stretch my back, it won't go out on me. So you got to, the way to strengthen it is to stretch it. Listen, how do you stretch yourself? So these are some ways to stretch yourself. Welcome to God's disciplinary gymnasium. You're here. How does God do it? God does it through three things. With your participation, inward disciplines, outward disciplines, and corporate disciplines. Put those up there, please. Inward disciplines, outward disciplines, corporate disciplines. Are y'all still tracking with me? We almost done. What are the inward disciplines? Bible study, prayer, meditation. I'm speaking to myself. Sometimes we gotta put our phone down and meditate on the word. Meditate. That's a discipline to stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. Fasting. What does that mean? Giving up a legitimate need of the body for a greater need of the soul. That's what fasting is, right? So those are inward disciplines. Now let's look at the outward disciplines. Outward disciplines is service. Solitude. Sometimes you need to be by yourself without nobody. The mamas and everybody, they about to lift their hands. Oh, ye gates. Solitude. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord. Service, solitude, submission. But look at this one, simplicity. Let me tell you something. My wife gets on me about having too many things. I'll just say that. Don't say nothing, babe. And my sister on the second, shh, go ahead. Family want to tell on you. But when she makes me declutter stuff, I feel so much better because I can see everything and everything's more clear and I have less to worry about. Some of us need spiritual simplicity in our life. Decluttering. Listen, not only that, suffering and sin correction. Next, corporate disciplines. I'm almost done. Corporate disciplines is worship, celebration, confession, guidance, preaching, teaching, prayer, accountability relationships. Listen, corporate disciplines, listen, is to help you see you. It's nothing worse than not being able to see you. Seeing yourself is a gift. And when you are able to see yourself, you're able to self-correct. Look at verse 13, I'm done. He says, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but instead healed. This is dope. I'm done. what does God's discipline ultimately do? It takes the dislocated places in our life and lock them back in place. That's ultimately what it does. It takes dislocation and relocates it. Okay, let me see if I can make it right. And this dude named Chris Smith that was in my seventh grade class, he was 6'3 at like 12, 13 years old. He grew real fast, but the consequence of him growing really fast is his knees would get dislocated. And so he would be hooping, and he would go for a crossover, and his knee would just go, and it would just be over here. And all of us would be like, ah! And then the coach would come over, and he would say, you ready? Breathe. 1, 2, 3. Ah! To pop it back in place. Then he would ice it, and it would heal. That's what God's going to be doing in your life this week. There's some dislocated things in your life. And it's on the side. And he's like, hold still. Ah! And God who loves you. He's going to put you back together again, but you got to let him do it. You got to get out of his way. You got to let him move. Putting stuff back in place is painful.
Hello, this is Dr. Eric Mason, founder and pastor of Epiphany Fellowship. Thank you for tuning in today. Hopefully the word of God was a blessing to you. Also, if you want to help us build the kingdom from Philly and beyond, particularly in inner cities, partner with us today. And if you don't know Jesus as Savior, based on his death, burial, and resurrection, place your confidence in him and go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Tune in next time so we can see you go from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. God bless you. Take care. We love you. We love you. We love you.